The next case is 2014-1647. Olentangy Local Schools versus Delaware County Board of Revision. And the appellant is the owner and Mr. Martin.
Thank you. This case is regarding tax year 2011, which was a reappraisal year. The auditor valued the property, and I'll address what the property is in a minute because that goes to one of the assignments of errors, at $1,550,000, notwithstanding the Board of Revision's valuation of it at $300,000. But between 2009 and 2011, from the time the condo was formed until the tax lien date of January 1, 2011, there was an amendment to the declaration of condominium filed that added additional property to the condominium. And that is an exhibit before the Board of Revision, and that exhibit shows that what was added was a detention pond and a retention area and a new drive, about an acre and a half. It goes into the condominium. It's then owned as a matter of law under 5311.04 by the unit owners as tenants in common. At that time, as today, you still only have, unfortunately for us, a single unit owner, the County Board of Developmental Disabilities. At the hearing before the Board of Revision, two of the owners testified as to their opinion of value. There were submitted unadjusted sales. An appraiser did not testify, but there were unadjusted raw sales. Substantial testimony and documents regarding efforts over the years to sell the property for less than half of the auditor's appraised value of $1,550,000. And also as to the there was a property record card put in that the auditor, the evidence was that the auditor had simply had not, in fact, appraised the property in 2011. There was no view of the property. There was nothing to indicate that there had been any appraisal. Board of Education put on no evidence. The Board of Revision, based upon the evidence submitted, you had both the owner's opinions of value, unsuccessful efforts for 7 years to sell the property, and the only sale had been to actually sell the building and the condominium ground. For selling the ground, trying to sell the ground for less than half of the auditor's valuation, there was substantial, I mean, it would evidence that it had always been listed with a variety of real estate agents, and there had been direct approaches to 9 Central Ohio developers trying to sell it to them for just get an offer. I mean, we want to cover taxes and the mortgage if we can, get us an offer. The Board of Revision reduced the value to $300,000. Board of Education appealed and waived hearing, and it was submitted on the brief. So the situation you have is you have absolutely no evidence by the Board of Education to support their value. I mean, the burden shifted, but they did nothing. Again, under Worthington, we put on evidence that there was owner's opinion of value. I mean, it's an owner's opinion of value have long been admissible. It may go to the weight. But in this, we supported it with some raw sales data, unadjusted, and also substantial evidence of unsuccessful efforts to sell it for less than half of what the auditor had valued it at. So clearly, the BTA got it wrong. They did not follow the precedent that the court has established using the Bedford Rule in Dublin 1, Dublin 2, and then in the Worthington case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Ms. Gorey.
Thank you very much. May it please the court, I'm Kelly Gorey of Rich and Gillis Law Group, representing the Olentangy Local School District. This case is a little bit different because I don't think they're necessarily making that value of the whole less the sale price equals value here. I think this is simply this is whether or not the BTA properly evaluated the evidence and engaged in what I believe is a two-part duty. Even if you're going to apply Bedford, I think East Bank 2 was clear that Bedford has to be construed and limited first by Colonial Village, which is what the court actually said in Vandalia Butler 2011. And then in East Bank 2, they explicitly recognized there's two things first that you're doing on appeal when you're evaluating the BTA's decision. First, you're going through the BTA's evaluation of the evidence. Is it reasonable or is it unlawful and unreasonable? The second part, then, is if the BTA has reasonably evaluated the evidence, is there enough evidence in the record for the BTA to independently determine value? And this is where the second part is where Vandalia Butler kicks in. Because even if some evidence tends to negate the auditor's original valuation, and let's just say I think the court has interpreted that as the BOR grants a reduction in value for any reason. Okay. Vandalia Butler then prescribes how on appeal the BTA must determine whether or not the valuation evidence in the record is sufficient for purposes of the BTA's review. So Vandalia Butler is quite specific as to how this evidence can be sufficient. The BTA actually has to be able to replicate the BOR's identical decision. And if it cannot do so, it should so state, and then it must determine whether or not the existing evidence in the record enables it to independently determine value. And I think the BTA did properly engage in that analysis here. It went through each piece of appellant's evidence. It said, we reject the raw sales data because we're left to speculate as to how they compare to the subject property. It said, we cannot use a tax year 2009 BOR decision as any evidence of value for tax year 2011 and a different tax year and a reappraisal year. Then it went through the unaccepted offers and listing prices. It cited the court's Gupta decision in which it says, these are not evidence of value, they're not actual sales. So if the BTA's evaluation of that evidence was reasonable, it must be affirmed. Then the second part is, does the record enable the BTA to independently determine value? And such that the BTA did not directly state, we do not have enough evidence to independently determine value, the court certainly could remand for that exact determination. But it would be very reasonable to infer from their evaluation of the evidence in the record that if you reject the evidence, you therefore can't use it to independently determine value. But absent is the magic language of independently determine value.
Excuse me. But would you agree that there is no affirmative evidence supporting the auditor's valuation in the record?
I actually would not agree with that because there is a BOR recommendation in the record, again, by Deputy Auditor Michael Hsu. And in evaluating the original complaint, he said, we've been provided with these certain sales. First of all, these sales are too far away. They're too big. They don't have the good frontage on Orange Road and 23 like the subject does. But wait a minute. I've located a recent comparable sale of 7 acres, selling at $150,000 per acre, which is, in fact, almost exactly what the auditor's original valuation is. I would contend that that actually is affirmative evidence in the record supporting the auditor's original evaluation.
Would you also agree that under the East Bank and Bedford Rule cases, that it's necessary to have such an increment of evidence for the BTA to use the auditor's valuation here?
Not necessarily, because I think Vandalia Butler is pretty clear that you can have some evidence which may tend to negate the auditor's original valuation. And the BOR is granted a reduction based upon its opinion that the property is overvalued. But you've got to go to that second step, which is the BTA must say, okay, even though the BOR granted a reduction, legally, we cannot defer to that unless the evidence that it relied upon was sufficient. And Vandalia Butler defines what the sufficiency is.
But the Bedford Rule also then says, puts that other piece in, we cannot use the auditor's valuation as a default. And so there has to be at least some evidence in support of that.
I see what you're saying, but I think in Vandalia Butler, the court was clear that Bedford is explicitly limited and construed in the Colonial Village framework. And then in East Bank 2, the court does specifically note the Bedford Rule is, I think the words are construed and limited by the Vandalia Butler 2011 case. So, and there's been no, I think, let me back up. I think so, the Bedford Rule, when we see an affirmative error in the auditor's original evaluation, that usually occurs when the complainant has actually met their burden of proof. Like, for example, Colonial Village, that was a subsidized housing case. Evidence came out in the record that the auditor used the cost approach to value the property. Can't use the cost approach to value the property. That is an affirmative error in the auditor's original evaluation. But in that case, the court went correctly to the second part of the analysis and says, wait a second, we've got this appraisal here with income information and sales comparison information. Remand to the BTA to determine whether or not that evidence is sufficient to determine value. And the court certainly implied that it would be. And then in East Bank, same thing. We have evidence that indicates that the units are not complete. There's percentage completion evidence in the record. There's also cost to complete. Again, the court said, we have plenty of evidence here for the BTA to independently determine value, so it should do so. But in contrast, Vandalia Butler, that when the owner appeared with a hearsay appraisal, the BOR made up a value, essentially, and the court said, so we have, even if some evidence negates the original value, we have to look back to whether or not the BTA, with the information in the record, can arrive at its own independent judgment and value. So here there's been no affirmative negating of the auditor's original value, and I discussed that in my brief. Coming to the BOR with unaccepted purchase offers and listing prices, that doesn't affirmatively negate the auditor's value. Plus, you have the evidence of the auditor's appraiser's sale in the record, which supports the original valuation. And the BTA did what it was supposed to here. In the absence of directly the specific magic language, it could go back for the BTA to say, based upon what we have here, we don't have enough to independently determine value. But in reconciling it with North Point, I still think, even if the BOR decision eclipses the auditor's original valuation, that doesn't knock out the second part of the test, which is from Vandalia Butler. So even if it eclipses it, you still have to apply the second part, which is determining the sufficiency of the BOR decision. Can the evidence be replicated? If not, can the BTA independently determine value? And I think, I mean, certainly most recently, the court in East Bank 2 recognized those two separate parts. Because when it adopted the BOR's valuation originally, it said, oh, but wait a second, we just ended up adopting perhaps an illegal valuation. So we need to step back and say, first, was it reasonable? Second, is there evidence in the record for it to independently determine value? Well, and I would also argue, and this is kind of an aside, I would argue that part of the applicable analysis could be, even to apply the Bedford rule, has evidence been presented by the complainant that actually affirmatively negates the auditor's original valuation? But I don't really think that's how the court has done it. I think it's just applied the Bedford rule if the BOR grants any reduction. But our position would be here that the court certainly could find that the Bedford rule doesn't even apply because there's not affirmative evidence in the record to negate the auditor's original valuation, coupled with the auditor's support of its original valuation through its appraiser. So again, we would contend that the BTA complied with the applicable analysis, and the court should affirm the BTA. If not, it certainly could remand for the magic language for the BTA to independently determine value. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gorey. Mr. Martin, you've reserved 10 minutes and 32 seconds.
Try not to take all of it very quickly. There, in fact, is no affirmative evidence in support of the auditor's valuation in the record. There is a post-BOR hearing recommendation of a deputy auditor as to evaluation, but he wasn't at the hearing, he didn't testify, it wasn't provided to the parties, it was just put in the transcript and on appeal, and it was obviously rejected by the Board of Revision because they took action after that and found the value to be $300,000. Regarding the BTA's decision, she indicated they discussed all the points. There's a little issue of the size of the parcel, what the owner owned. The evidence before the BOR established that additional property had been put into the condominium, and the owner no longer owned it. It was owned by the county then. That was 1.5 acres. That amendment, including the legal description of that property and the drawing showing what is on it, was before the BOR. It's in the record. There is, and that argument was made before the BOR. It was made before the BTA in the briefs. There is not one iota of discussion in the BTA decision of what the owner actually owned and that contention. There was evidence. Ohio has long recognized the owner opinion rule. Raw unadjusted sales may not be admissible for proving value, but they can form a basis for the owner's knowledge, the the basis for the owner's, or part of the basis of the owner's opinion, because the owner is obviously comparing. I mean, anybody in fine logic tells you when you're giving an owner opinion, you're comparing it to your knowledge of the market and forming your opinion. All we did was go beyond just saying, well, based upon sales in the area, and provided those particular sales. A listing price, an asking price, unaccepted offers may not establish the value, but they can clearly negate an auditor's valuation. If you have marketed property for years through listings with brokers, trying to sell direct to developers, and you can't sell it when you're asking less than half of the auditor's valuation, that clearly is some evidence that supports the owner's opinion of value. So basically, what the if the BTA said there was no probative evidence, they're saying we don't find the owner's opinion to be probative. Okay, where does that take us? Well, that's the per curiam decision in Worthington City Schools versus Franklin County Board of Revision. Paragraph 35, because it found the owner's valuation to be not probative, and because it confronted an absence of additional evidence, the BTA ordered that the auditor's value be reinstated. While this is a logical disposition, the BTA nonetheless erred in rendering it. This is so because of our decision in Bedford, and I won't read the cite, prescribes a different rule under these circumstances. When the Board of Revision has reduced the value of the property based on the owner's evidence, that value has been held to eclipse the auditor's original value. If they found our value, owner's opinion, not to be probative, this court, 2014, says what you do then is you go to the BOR's valuation. You cannot go back to the auditors. That's where they committed the error. They should have reinstated the BOR. That's the default. If they found it not probative, which they stated they did, that's what they had to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.